under the spout where the glory comes out, right? All right. Well, good afternoon. Are you awake? They're not. That's not a good start. Well, thoroughly enjoy our fellowship. I'd like to just say thank you for you all coming. And just throughout the course of this week, again, my desire is that we can be a blessing to you and hopefully be an encouragement along the way. I will say this, probably one of the most exciting things about ministry, traveling, and so forth, is to see people that just stay faithful. That's huge for me. And as I travel, it's just, the beauty is the Lord doesn't require us to be successful, but he does require us to be faithful, and the beauty is we can all do that. And so I trust that just stay at it, stay in your place, and we'll go from there. All right, take your Bibles this afternoon. And if you can find Psalm 3, I really don't think I'm going to finish this. And I do apologize, Pastor Carlson, I went right up to 11. I apologize for not giving you enough time to get 9 points in. But I will do better tomorrow, I promise. And so we'll give you, I know you're going to get your wagon loaded. And so I don't want to just like keep giving you a whole lot of information that you just can't soak it in. So I'm the type of guy, I like to be transparent with you. And I'll just say the last 2 to 3 years of my life have been, I'll put it frank, not real good. It's been some tough battles. And I've gotten beat up. And when I come to a meeting like this, I always kind of wish I'm not one of the main speakers, because sometimes I just need my wagon loaded. And I don't stand in front of, I've never pastored, I've never had this grandiose ministry, and so I don't really stand before you as someone that's done a whole lot for the Lord. So just to lay it out, I'm just a normal guy like you, serving the Lord, trying to be faithful, trying to win people to the Lord, and I have bad days. Our family has bad times. Our church has some rough moments. And I would say this, what I'm going to talk about, is pretty real to me, because God had to revive my spirit. A lot of times we think of revival, we think sin. Get the sin out. Root it out. I don't think that's the case, and I believe I'm looking at a group of people that probably are not in deep sin. Amen. You're probably not saying, I'm just ready to chuck the Christian life. But maybe as we heard, as we started out this morning, what do you think this group of people needs? Somebody said, encouragement. So that's what this message is, because God's had to do this not just once, but several times in the last couple years. I don't know if you've ever had a bad day. Have you had a bad week? How about a bad month? And sometimes you just think, all I'm trying to do is right. And you'd think after 30-some years of being saved, you'd have it figured out, and life would get calm. And it hasn't been that way for the Ramos family. And the devil's done some work. And so I'm going to be open with you, if that's okay. You can criticize me, that's fine. I'm just going to tell you how God's been working in my life. And maybe you can pick up some of the pieces and let it be an encouragement to you. So would you pray with me right now and for me as we look at this text? This text has just revived my spirit, and I hope it can you as well. Let's pray. God, I need you today. This is kind of one of these open, transparent sermons that I think if the crowd were to look and say, wow, Brother Ramos needs help, it's pretty true. Brother Ramos just needs assistance, encouragement. It's true. And I pray that you'd use this, as you have in my heart, to maybe lift up a spirit today, and lift up a heart. And maybe we can use this to encourage one another, edify one another, and I pray that this can be helpful. Bless the kids as they're different places. Bless the teens, God. Just let, as your word goes forth, it can be powerful, as we heard this morning. But if it's not mixed with faith, it can be void. That's a terrible thing. So I pray that you use this in our hearts today. In Christ's name, amen. Genesis 45 says this, and they told him, speaking of Jacob, all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons, which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. So there's no sin there. He just happened to see, well, my son has sent a message. He didn't really believe it because it had been 20 years. But when he saw the wagons, it kind of lifted his spirit. Judges 15, 19, but God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Speaking of Samson. 1 Kings 17, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Romans 14, 9, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived. So I want to talk about our spirit being revived. You're in Psalm 3. Let me read a couple verses to get the context of Psalm 3. We find these verses in 2 Samuel chapter 15. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man had a controversy, came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. I'll read down to verse 12. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Verse 13. And there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. I think, how many are familiar with this story? David, Absalom. Who's not? Just to make sure I'm not leaving anybody out. So I think we understand David's kind of towards the end of his life. Absalom, this rebellious son, this beauty of a man with the long hair and so forth, he comes and pretty much raises a conspiracy against his own father. How tough must this have been? How tough? Here's a king that conquered nations, conquered people, and yet he finds himself unable to conquer his own home. I would say my number one ministry is my home. I believe that. But sometimes it seems like that's where the biggest battles are. I'll door knock all day. Let's fight the devil all day, yes? But sometimes we get these things, these rifts, these conflicts in our home, and it's like, Lord, what do we do? Why is this so challenging? We have the family devotions, and I encourage my kids in devotion, and sometimes pastors just like, do they listen? Am I training them to be worldly? What's wrong? And it's this idea, here's David, warrior, battler, a man, a mighty man, and yet we find him, his son, spitting in his face. The rebellion was strong. You wonder if God thinks the same thing about his children. Paul writes to the church at Rome when God speaks, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient people. So what do you do, dads, in a situation like this? Where David finds himself run out from his own home. And I love to see all these little kids running around, and I sit back and say, enjoy. I used to think 0 to 10 was tough. You know, don't do this, They do it, whack, 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 all is well. Then they hit 12, 13, 15, you know what I'm talking about, 20. And then you start to say, oh no, now my boys are bigger than me. Whack, whack, whack doesn't work anymore. They laugh, laugh, laugh. What do you do? Psalm 3, I think, is the context for this passage. And so we find David dealing with a rebellious son. Could we read that together? Lord, together, verse 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Three times we see that little word, Selah. 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 It's found, I believe, if my numbers are correct, 73 times in the book of Psalms. It's found in the book of Habakkuk. Sometimes it's in the middle of the verse. The majority of the time it's at the end of the verse. And I think when we have these issues, whether they be internal, which I think is where we get the most discouraged, we can look and say, in my case, America is in bad shape, and I will say amen to that. I don't know much about Canada. Trudeau is a pretty good man, is my understanding. So we can look outside and we can say, oh, Canada needs help. And I think generally speaking, we understand there's a need in our world out there. Yes? But can we go a little more internal? I don't know your family situations. I'm just being honest with me. Sometimes I just feel like I got to beat my head against the wall and say, why? Why does it seem like our kids in our churches are getting it? And it seems like they're almost rising up against us. And so I look and say, Lord, I need help. And he brought me to Psalm 3 and says, Eric, you need a Selah moment. So I had to find out what that means because I don't know the Hebrew that well. But Selah, according to Mr. Spurgeon, he says this, it is simply a musical pause. But even Mr. Spurgeon says this, its precise meaning is not fully known. If he doesn't know, we need help because he's a guy I like to read a lot. Some have said it's simply a rest in the middle of a song. I like to think of Hallelujah Chorus. There's that time of Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. And I always wait for someone to mess up. That's just kind of like one of those moments. But it's this dramatic pause. You stop in the middle of the song. Others have said, and I really think in this case it may mean this, it means to lift up the strain of the music or sing more loudly. So it's almost like this somber, serious tone. And then you hit the Selah. And you're a music person, so you'll understand this. You'll hit the Selah, and it's almost like there's a change. Something's about to get a little bit better. You know, sometimes you get muddled down in life, and you hit these Selah moments, and God has to come, and you get some rest, and you get renewed, and then God revives, and guess what happens? You say, all right, now I can move on. God's given me a new song for today. We need those moments. Does anyone here play a stringed instrument? I got a few, all right? So, Brother Mike, right? Brother Mike, what instrument do you play? Guitar, okay. Anybody play like a violin, cello? Right there. Before you play each time, what do you have to do? Every time? My daughter plays cello, Karis. And she's getting better at it, praise the Lord. And I don't know music, but she's 11, so she goes to the, pulls that little cello out. Ding, ding. And she gets it in tune. Every time she plays. And this is what the Lord's been telling me, teaching me. Every day there's times that you just need to retune. Don't wait till it gets really bad. We need Selah moments a little more often than we like to have. I don't like having bad days, Brother Wayne. I don't. But God has brought me to some Selah moments. There's a need for retuning for David in the face of strife. So let's just walk through this text. We'll see how far we get with it. Verse number one. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. So I see, first of all, an exclamation in trouble. Normally, when you begin a question with the word, or we see the word how, you think it's a question. How are you doing this? How are you doing today? We see the passage begins. He says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? This is not a question. You look at the grammar there, it's an exclamation point. What he's saying is, holy cow, how... You follow? It's an exclamation, all right? So there's an exclamation in trouble. I see an escalation of trouble. What does it say? How are they increased? The word many is found two times in those first two verses. I'd like to say it this way. When it rains, I kind of think that was how Job was. A servant runs to him. Hey, I was out feeding the sheep, and the Sabaeans came in, and they took all the sheep, all the servants, and as soon as he was done speaking, another servant comes in and says, hey, your camels were out. As soon as he was done speaking, another servant came. And I look and say, man, it seems like those Job moments when it rains, it pours. And they're like, Lord, could I just get some good news? It'd be really nice that the teacher didn't come. Yeah, Gideon was bad today, and the next person comes, and Titus was bad today, and then somebody comes, oh, Marissa had a bad attitude today, and your wife had a, no, I won't go there, and Karis had a bad attitude, and it's like, could somebody just give me a glimmer of hope? You been there, pastors? You that have been in ministry for a long time, does it seem like sometimes things just don't go right? And here's David in the midst of an escalation of trouble. Many, he says, have risen up against me. I see a discouraged king right now in this text. Here's a man that is used to strife, facing giants from a young man. It seemed for years he was running around being chased by his father-in-law. Talk about family strife. All he seemed to know was difficulty in battles. Even when it came time to build the house of God, God says you can't because you are a bloody man. All David knew was strife. But now watch. Brother Ryan, now we see his human side a little bit. You see, it's easy for us preachers, ministry leaders, to be out in the public forum, and everybody looks and says, wow, they just seem like they got it together. How long have you been pastoring? 12 years. And people kind of expect him to be at his A game every Sunday, Wednesday, I presume, every Wednesday when it's soul winning time. Pastor, oh, he's just the perfect Christian. Now, you know there's bad times. But we can't really let people see those times because they're going to think we're human. Well, guess what? We are. And we get a look at the human side of David in this text. We see his son. So here's the many, if you will. His own son, good old Absalom. His senate, we read about that, I believe, in verse 12 of our text. Ahithophel, the counselor, one that he could count on. We see him rising up in rebellion against David also. And this is one of his close friends. And it says many. So I think, now just picture this. I was reading and I thought, I don't know how true this is, but even his own soldiers, and remember the guys that came to him when he was running from Saul. Those were guys that were in debt. Those guys that were in distress, those guys that were discontent, David welcomed them in. They became his faithful men. And I thought about this. I wonder now, some 30 to 40 years later, I wonder if some of these guys that are rising up against him were maybe the children of the guys that he brought in at the beginning of his reign. It's one thing for the world to attack us, but I'm telling you what, I feel like we're getting hammered by our very own young people in our churches, and they're the ones rising up, the ones that you have poured your heart and soul in. They're the ones rising up. They're the ones on social media saying all this nonsense that's going on today with no respect. That's hard to swallow. The guys that you care about, the ones that you taught in Sunday school, are the very ones walking out the door and spitting in your face. We can deal with the world, yes, but it's the ones from within that really seem to tear your heart out. Now, I'm not after another. I need a Selah moment. Barry Sanders, he was one of my favorite running backs to watch. He just bounced off people, but it was just like one after. So many have sought to conquer his kingdom. I have a hunch that in 25 years, you expect the world to do that. But not the bless your hearts. I'm not even a pastor and I'm discouraged. There's going to come a time where that world's calling their name. No, it's not calling their, it's screaming. I'll tell you this. It's even hard now, 0 to 10, but that's what his own people were saying. It's so bad, God can't even help you. His own are rising up and saying, you can't rely on God, he can't help you. Talk of Bathsheba moments. Because now we're in 2 Samuel 24. They saw the other wives in David's life. I don't like going to my wife and saying, sorry, Caleb, I'll call you by your dearest Autumn. I have failed you. And I think we have this mindset today that leaders, relationships. And then there are those. Why don't you flip over? While you're turning there, now here's a guy that I've been connected with for 25, 30 years. I've worked with his children. The thing is, in some senses, what he was saying had some truth. This is real stuff. And for you that may not, it's discouraging. But then there, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, just as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. I mean, that's not fun. Pastor, maybe I'm talking way too personal here. They begin to start throwing accusations around. Now, may I remind you today, and he's a murderer, and I will say he will use fellow Christians, fellow believers, put your man pants on and move on. But the devil's going to pull, and really ugly. I don't get on it. Parent has to take some of that. But beyond that, did not our we're doing well. So number two, there's an encouragement of this. Look at verse 3. There's that conjunction. This holy hill. The word but changes the entire tune. It's kind of like Romans chapter 2, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And it talks about that. But God, who is rich. So let's look at this encouragement. I see the encouragement in the person. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Now this word shield, you can stoop down and you're completely surrounded. It's not one of those little tiny shields. No dart can hit you in the back. No dart can hit you from the front. No dart can hit you from the side. How was he defeated? Darts. Pile of rocks. Listen to me. Not David. Dangerous thing to go against the Lord protector, because you'll find yourself hanging. David was a man used to being around glory. He was a king, right? He was used to being praised here, because I see the preciousness. What mean? And this, if you don't get anything, get this. It's held high, but as I got discouraged, Pastor, it was like, he'd help. He had the Selah moment. It directed his attention to God, the Lord, the protector. Was in prison, and he saw two men that were down, a little bit discouraged. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou... And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Here's the butler. Whatever he did wrong... ...of what we're talking about in Psalm 3. Be the one that lifts up your head. It may be a lifting. Maybe you've been defeated. And he says, you know, I'm gonna lift you up. Dude, I think I'm trying to be a good husband. I think I'm trying to do right. It just seems like... one thing after another. So you're like, what? I love what I'm doing. But you kind of just, why? And then you just go, silent prayers are good, but it's not the type of prayer that David had in his cup. He cried out, Lord, have mercy on me. They said, shh. Hello. And I think that's what camp is about. Is it safe to say that? But that word revive is not, I'm not talking just one after another after another. Maybe you just need to have a seal up of my head. And then just go to prayer. And you'll see the psalmist, how long, four times in two verses, you just say, I need God. For you say, it's in my home. And some people are walking out the door. It's ugly. Like, we don't like it. Lord, make sure you're retuned. And nobody likes anything out of tune, do we? ...that we need. Maybe if you're discouraged today, I trust this can be a help to you. Let's pray. Lord, I hope I did not confuse anyone. I tried to just share what you've been teaching me. And I'm not here as the know-it-all. Other men could get up and do a way better job, I know that. But I just felt compelled to share a little bit of this because it's been so real to me. And I thank you for encouraging, I thank you for lifting up my head. It's been down too long. Just thank you for lifting up my head. And maybe somebody today needs just their chin from off their chest and just We can try to encourage, but ultimately, you have to be the lifter up of our heads. And it's something I pray that can be a help to these dear folks that have gathered this morning. How many say, Brother Amos, I needed that today? Thank you. I want to pray for you. I assume that. You know, we need encouragement sometimes. Lord, I pray for these, some of apparently need it. You compelled me to go this route this afternoon. I know it's hot, but I pray that this could be something that settles in our heart. Maybe we could just drift off to Psalm 3 this evening and just look at it a little closer and make it more applicable and personal in our lives. Thank you for helping me with this. In Christ's name.